Welcome to Diary 101 Podcast. I am your host, Akakande Olakandepwe, also known as Akan. Well, guys, it's always good to be back. Good to be back with a new guest. And the fun fact about this episode is I always feel like it's a blessing in disguise. And when I was having the guest on, she was like, oh my God, you're it. No one has ever been that excited about me reading. So you can imagine me jumping. I'm like, finally, all that reading has done something for me. I really love her work, and I feel like it's gonna be a lot of gems to share. She is into skincare, so all my gaylies, the gents are welcome to join this conversation too. But all my gaylies, ready to learn something about skincare and everything we need to know. I feel like I never get into the deep dive to learn the products I use for my skin and just the history that it comes with. So I'm really excited to have Fernanda on the podcast, and I will let her introduce herself because, hey, she's that lady. Hi, Fernanda.
Hi, hello. Aka Kandelwa. So now in your podcast, and I wanted to say your name in full because I think it's important. It's your name, so we need to honor that. So it's a privilege to be here. And just to sort of put it into context, before we started, we had a little chit chat about the fact. Aka really enjoys reading, and I think that is the most precious gift that anyone can give to anybody else, because the world changed when we learned to write. So regardless of language or any voices, having the ability to read a book, it is transformational. So all those of you that just read on your mobiles and your iPads, Androids or whatever, go and get a book. The feeling of the paper in your hands, it's God's gift. So enjoy. So after that little bit intro on me, I'm Fernanda da Silva Tatley. I've got a PhD in medical molecular microbiology, and so people look at me as a scientist, yes, which I am, but I see myself in a slightly different way. So I'm a scientist by training, and I've spent many years investigating cellular processes which relate to how bacteria stimulate or irritate the immune system and how our immune system copes with that and how that information can be translated into other immune tools, which could be for inflammation, infections, and malignancies. So that's my sort of professional side. But for me, I'm really an artist in my heart. And this is because I always wanted to be an archaeologist, but as a teenager, that was not allowed. As far as my dad was concerned, archaeology was a hobby. So I could never be an archaeologist, but that remained with me as my core. So it's my artistry, my love of reading. So I love finding someone that loves reading, and my love of culture, diversity, people, art, architecture, history, people. That is my, that is me in my heart. And then I became a Reiki master. Reiki is a form of energy healing, which I suppose from all the energy healing modalities coming from the East, basically you are encouraged to discover yourself from within with energy that is not necessarily your own, but it flows through you. And so it's that combination that makes me who I am. And in my skincare, I always wanted to have this holistic approach. It's not just about sticking stuff on your skin, because your friends do, and you see stuff on Instagram or TikTok and you go and do it, but because you need to honor yourself. Make some time for yourself. So when you apply some skincare in the morning or the evening, you recognize in those moments that you're very precious. You're looking after yourself. You're feeling good. That kind of fosters release of endorphins into, you know, from your brain into your body. Endorphins are like molecules that are our natural opiates. They make you feel good and they balance all those tricky cortisols that are released by the adrenals on top of our kidneys as a result of a stressful day. So the whole approach is to feel good. In feeling good, you will feel great. In feeling great, you will look fantastic. You don't need to look 20 years younger. You just need to feel like you're a goddess, like you're a god. And it applies both to male and female. Skincare shouldn't be gender restricted. And so my approach to skincare is understand what you use, because if you don't, you end up just applying things on your face without being mindful of what you do. Be mindful that all the practices around you contribute to you feeling good and helping others. And let's not forget about the environment, because the environment is very precious. And I'm at my tail end of my life. I'm old, so I'm not going to be here for very long. But I would love the generations to come to still be able to appreciate a lovely environmental place, a lovely earth. And we should help ourselves and everyone to understand this. I'm a very anti-war person, and I'm not a tree hugger, you know, if we're coming, but I'm someone who respects everyone. And so this is where I come from. Does that help you?
That's so interesting. I love that. I have a lot of questions. I know where to start from. I love the introduction. I'm so glad we did this. I never let anybody introduce themselves. But I now see how in-depth you got to introduce yourself. And I loved how you were in the moment and in your mind. And you were doing it with all your heart. I just want to know, because we had like a pre-conversation and we talked about our names. Why do you value that so much? Like, I feel like you value and honor it so much. A lot of people have asked me to introduce myself.
Yes.
Just to know how to pronounce my name. Yeah, but right. You wanted the meaning of the name. My whole full names, which are like four names, and you got to introduce yourself and you gave me the history behind your name. Why is that important to you?
That undoubtedly is part of your heritage. So when your parents or your family gave you a name, they had something in mind. And we can't ignore that there is a lineage that comes from people choosing a name from you, which is just as important as the genes that have come from your mom and dad's and from their predecessors. And sometimes the names that are attributed to us are names that we don't like. Like I've said to you, my name is Fernanda Maria, and I don't really like Maria as a name. But and as a kid, I always wanted to be called something else. But then I learned the meaning of my name, and I learned to love the name I have. It's a hard name, but then I'm a straight person. I'm not a fuddy-duddy kind of person. I can't live in sort of dream subterfuges. I am straight, and my name means a brave, valiant woman. So I thought, oh, I can handle that. And the meaning of your name is equally so beautiful. You know, it just, it It gives energy to who you are. So when you're feeling low, when you're feeling like, oh, you know, it's a terrible day, something hasn't got right, hold on to your name. Just 1 or 2 minutes when you are just present in you, because whether it was your parents or your family, someone in the universe, in this greater body of energy, gave you a name. And that is so special. That is so, so truly unique. There could be 100 others with your name, but there's only one like you. Never forget that. We should never allow others to belittle us just because they think they're better than us. In fact, when they do that, quite the contrary, they just show that they are very much smaller. It takes a very big person to stay quiet.
I like that. And just like you, I did not like what my name meant. It took me a while to get to a place that being a person that's very particular is not a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. You could say particular, very obsessive. So when you're growing up, we had a book in our language. My tradition is Lozi, right? I'm from that heritage. So yeah. My name is Lozi. And we had a book that translated in our language what our names meant. And we'd all make fun of each other. I did not like what my name meant, because then when everybody knew what my name meant, it's any little thing you're doing, it will be translated to what your name means. So it took a while to really love my name and sit with it and actually agree. Oh my goodness, there's nothing wrong with being particular. There's nothing wrong with wanting things to be in a certain way. There's nothing wrong with having order. Like, there's nothing wrong. And yeah, it's something I'm very grateful for now that I did. Like, I did learn to make peace with it and just, like you said, sit with it and take so much pride.
Yes, and the other thing is that when you do that, you liberate all sorts of other preconceptions, which often come just because, someone in the family when you were a little girl says something and it sticks in your head as a negative kind of impact. But it liberates you from that and you feel so wholesome. You know, we are, certainly when I say we, I was taught always as a kid to look at other females and other, big personalities. They're so big, so important, so beautiful. So I used to feel very ugly. And as I grew older, I realized that there is no such thing as ugly. There isn't. I mean, even when you look at a statue or at a painting that you think, ooh, I don't like it, it's an emotion you expressing. It may not be something that you don't like, but it's not ugly, because someone put energy in putting it together, in making it. So it's part of the world's beauty, and there's beauty in everything. It's just that we are taught norms in life because, that's how societies are created. And there's a difference, I think, from being particular to being fussy. Remember when I first queried you, was it being fussy? So someone who is being fussy, likes things their way, it's very much about being so self-centered that you can't see beyond what your real little cocoon is. When you're being particular, it's because you've thought about it and you've given yourself permission to say, I like it this way because my intention is to feel good about it and to help others about it. So that's very different from being fussy because everyone's wrong, I'm right. That's not good. But do you not
if
be
I'm being people? Honest, if
Yeah.
I'm being honest, I used to be fussy. Right?
Ah, yeah.
Growing up, I was like the most self-centered human being I know, and
Oh,
very
that's funny.
selfish. Yeah, it's like very funny. I have grown so much. But yes, I was very self-centered and very fussy and very particular and wanting things in my own way. And yeah, so for people that have seen me grow into the person I am now, yeah, they're like, I'm surprised that you have grown to be this woman, because the girl I knew 5 years ago was this, that, and that, and that. But I also noticed that because I was that person and still is to a certain extent with certain things, a lot of people that knew me back then can't let go of that narrative of me. So I've
Okay, but
also,
that's all right. That's all
yeah.
right, because it's their problem, not yours. So
Sure.
don't take their monkeys on. If they want to still see you that way, okay, throw them all the monkeys in them and put a tin with stones around each monkey. So when the monkey comes near you, you can hear it and you say, "My choice. I don't need it. It doesn't serve me anymore." So it's
Yeah.
their problem. It's you've evolved, and that is the sort of real value of what life is. It's a kind of a journey and experience in understanding that things change. Things don't remain the same. And you've just demonstrated that, and that is superb. The other thing is, bear in mind that it's been a gift that you were like that, and then you've been changing because you can recognize it in others. And indirectly, you'll be able to help others. You may not even be aware of that.
I like that.
So it's, you know, they're all precious gifts. We try to manage everything with our brains because that's what we do. And we think that our brains are so incredibly great. They are. But maybe there's a whole lot of synchronicities that happen around us to show us other ways of thinking, and all we need to be is to be open to see different ways. You don't have to take them all in one go, but sometimes you wake up and you think, oh, that was so interesting, this thought came into my mind, and it starts a path on a direction, and that's when you're really growing. That is growing. So
and if I'm being honest,
yeah.
If I'm being honest, I like this train of thought, and you kind of mentioned a few stuff that I like to read again. You're so excited about that. When you were speaking about the monkeys, you kind of reminded me of, is it Joy Miguel Rice, the person that wrote The Four Agreements? Because
yes.
You are, that's
yes.
His name, right? Yes.
Yes, yeah.
You are speaking his language now. And a lot of, I haven't met anyone that I have had like an in-depth conversation of the different ways of living apart from how we're living now. Because,
right.
Yeah, it's because we're living now and we're thinking, yeah, that's enough, right? It's enough. Other generations have done it, and we can just do it the same way. And no one is open to exploring other ways of living. So
yeah.
Just tell me how you got into this work.
So when I was in science, I felt quite... And this was largely in South Africa, because, just to put it into context, I'm Portuguese born, And I lived in Portugal, in Lisbon, until I was about 18. My parents had moved to South Africa because my dad was with a company that traveled all over the world building bridges and dams. And there was a lot of construction in the Orange River in South Africa. So my parents ended up there. And I went to Cape Town University while they were in the Karoo. So my exposure was, let's put it this way. So I come from a culture in Portugal, which is very old and quite traditional, and but free. And I end up in South Africa, where they then that was the height of apartheid. And you have, you have little signs over doors, not for whites and not for blacks. And you, it's sort of like it's really odd because I'm a great believer. Although we have skin color on the outside that is different, you peel the skin away, it's all the same underneath, no different. I found that very hard to kind of understand. I was 18, and I was thought, how can someone define that you're good or bad just by this color of your skin or the way you speak? It's so absurd. And I found that really hard to swallow. And so I started reading other books that were outside of the framework of science and technology. And so hence I had these two channels going in parallel. I'm training to be a scientist, but I read all these other authors that are non-traditional. And that opened my mind to seeing people a little bit more complex than just being bodies, where bodies that have a heart, a brain, muscles, and them being part of society and doing some horrible things to each other, trying to understand what is it that makes us who we are, given that we have choices, and most of us seem to take what is called the easiest path. And sometimes you look at some way of doing something and you think, oh, it's easy for me to do this, and you're not giving it enough thought. And although it's the easier way to go to begin with, it turns out it complicates your life. So that taught me something that took a long time to actually come to fruition. And that is, you need to stay true to your values. So you are someone and you believe in some things. So you treat people like you like to be treated, and you respect people. In South Africa, I was very privileged at the University of Cape Town. We had a lot of black people and colored people. And yes, I'm saying colored people because that's how the group of people want to be called. And I'm not, don't mean it in a disrespectful way. And Indian, and they came and stayed in our residences. They had special dispensation. This is quite awful to have to think that they had to have a special dispensation to go to a university just because they had a different color type than our own. But we all mixed and we talked. And look, at the end of the day, despite the fact that there can always be tensions just because of how you brought up, we are the same. We want the same. And one thing that we must never forget is that we need to ask people, why do you think that way? And I spoke to a lot of Afrikaners, and I would say, why do you think it was so important to develop apartheid? And then we talk and talk and talk, and in the end, you'd come back to this thing that, oh, actually, there's no real reason. It was like some forefathers thought then it was the right thing to do. And so when you're stimulating what you've said earlier, communication, you're talking, you open the channels of communication, and you understand that people are the same, whether they're a doctor or whether they're street sweeper, someone who's a plumber versus someone who's a nurse or a school teacher or a farmer, you know, or a laborer. When you understand that people at the end of the day, they might have funny accents and they might, you know, some people are not grammatically correct as others, but at the end of the day, they want something good. And those that go down a bad path, and there are instances where people go down bad paths, it's because they're so constrained, so frustrated with what's been around them that they know nothing else. And terrible things happen. And it is such a tragedy that we can help each other by choice, but we don't. It's preferable to take the easy way out. Well, you know, there's a criminal, we'll put the criminal in prison because the criminal away from society. And guess what? The criminal goes to prison, which is criminal university. So if you were bad outside prison, you'll be worse in prison. And when you come out, you can be even worse and do worse things. Very few people are like Mandela. Mandela was one of these special souls, 27 years in prison, and he came out and he was saying, no, you know, yes, it wasn't good. He didn't like it. It, you know, there were many things he didn't like, but let's be sensible. Very few people have that foresight. But it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take an Einstein. He wasn't an Einstein. He was just a very together person that thought about it and he wanted to help. And that's, you know, we whether we do skincare or whether we do cooking or whether we do dancing or acting, it's all about wanting to be part of something that we value because we are precious. And we, you know, and I mean precious, I don't mean sort of precious, you know, sort of funny people on pedestals, but precious. We all have a contribution to make. We can help each other. We can make a choice consciously and say, okay, I can choose this because this will help. Oh, I've made a mistake. Okay, right. Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? Yes, of course. There's always chances for doing something wrong and for asking forgiveness and forgiving ourselves.
Oh, I like that. I think we always ask for forgiveness. Actually, it's very easy for us to forgive others than it is to forgive ourselves, right? One thing I read in the Four Agreements that I love so much is, actually two things. We abuse ourselves as much as people abuse us. And we ask for forgiveness so many times, but never forgive ourselves.
Correct, correct. And look, when you read all these books, because I've read, one of my favorites is Dr. Wayne Dyer. He's not alive anymore, and he always said gratitude and forgiveness, and just sit with yourself. Paulo Coelho, you know, this writer from Brazil who went through he went through a very difficult stage. Bear in mind, he was a very senior corporate executive in the record world in the 70s. And then, so he used to fly between Rio and Miami. And then one day, it's his job. They canceled him. They canceled his role. No excuses, no explanations. He was done. And for about 5 years, he tried to get into the record industry again. Never. He could not get in. And that led to him writing the book about the pilgrimage of Santiago in the north of Spain, because he himself had to work through all those blockages, all those, the trauma of having been so important and having lost everything. He still doesn't know why it just happened. And then he realized that we all carry stones on our in our pockets. We all carry these weights. And so he started writing, and his writing resonated with so many millions. Like The Alchemist is one of the books that most people read, because I think I've seen it. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, amazing book. And it's not about converting lead into gold, but it's transformation within oneself. We see ourselves in one way, but we can change to be something else. And Wayne Dyer had the same approach. Deepak Chopra is another one. He was a medical doctor, and he was being slave driven by his professor at MIT. And one day he decided, I can't take this anymore. So he said, no, I'm leaving. And his professor swore that he would make life difficult for him. He would never get a job in science. Okay. So Deepak Chopra did GP work for a few years until one day he started writing, and he had the seven laws of spiritual being, and that's how he started. And of course, being Indian helped, because he had this philosophy that was the Eastern philosophy that helped him to calm down, not be so stressed. So there are many examples of writers that just write something because they themselves have been through trauma. Another example, the guy that wrote Chicken Soup, the two guys that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. One of them was a bag person in New York. You know, he'd lost his job, and somehow he got help with his friend, and they wrote this book, which it's a little manual on how to empower ourselves to change. And that's what I did with reading all these other books that were non-science alongside. But the other thing that I did, which was quite interesting, even the books that are around science are always read between the lines. And if you read between the lines, often you pick up some messages that people are not obviously giving, but they did.
Yeah. I like the read between the lines, and you pick up a lot of messages. I think because people are not well read, we never pick up anything. So we also never pick up anything between the lines with people. Right? So you didn't read the lines when you're having a conversation with somebody. They might not be saying certain things, but you could actually tell. You can actually pick it up. And I think with podcasting and reading, I have realized that I've become more direct, just asking what I want to ask, but also reading between the lines and picking my battles.
Yeah, and look, there's a just thinking if I get his nationality correct. So I think he was born in East Africa, but he lived for a long time in Holland. So his name is Michael Ondaatje, and he is an incredible writer. So obviously African, but with a Western influence, and he's an outstanding writer. He wrote a book about the Tamil conflict, Sri Lanka and Tamil and India. And I'm trying to think of the title of the book. Not Anik, but Anand's story. I think that's what it was. And the book really dwells into what people are and how people live, the clash of cultures. But the way he writes, you read a sentence and then literally a week later you think, oh, actually he mentioned something And I've just realized that that opened a connection somewhere else later in a different chapter. So you can't get that from just watching movies. You need to read, and you also need to listen to people talking. Like what we're doing now, it's really important. And it's sadly, it's something that maybe kids don't hear so much. I was reading about the fact that nowadays parents are so busy, they don't have time to read their kids a story when they go to bed. And or like in the old African traditions, like the grandmas used to sit with the grandkids and just tell them little stories about some animals in the forest. Do you know what I mean? That is so.
I know what you mean.
And it doesn't happen anymore because, you know, most people end up having two or three jobs to make ends meet, to bring, because all the things that we want to have technology, we want to have a phone, we want to have a computer, we want to have a laptop, and we want to have a good dress here and, you know, great makeup. And so we spend our money with all these things, which means we need to earn more to have all these things. So, you know, just get some food into your mouth, go. And, you know, let's get yourself washed, go and get into your pajamas and get into bed. Whereas years ago, there used to be a more, a less instant approach and just say, okay, I'll just tell you a story, a little story, and sometimes some very boring story. But the words had emotion. And that's important because that is what teaches you to find emotions in writing. It's the fact that you hear how your auntie or your cousin or your friend or your mom or dad have said something and you understand the difference between, oh, here comes the wolf and boom, 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 very scary. No, 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 no. You know, I'm a little rabbit. You can't eat me. You know, can't eat. You know, doing those kinds of play acting, it's that all those tools are so important to develop our ability to understand how people communicate. And that's important even in a professional way, because sometimes you know, like when you get the cold shoulder from someone you've worked with. And you don't know what they're saying, but when you are more perceptive because you understand the subtleties of someone telling you off, you can break that down into something that gives you courage to say, okay, I've got to ask you something. Why is it that you told me that? Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to go and speak to Mary because Aka did something to me that I didn't like. And then Mary goes to Tom and Tom goes to Peter. And no one has the courage to ask Aka, why was it that you asked or that you said something in the way that you did? And if we had the ability to listen more to those voices, we would say, it's not so difficult to say, look, I didn't understand what you said. What did you mean? You don't have to beat someone. You don't have to attack them. But you need to listen to be able to conduct yourself in a much more egalitarian way, in a much more freeing way. And reading and hearing stories definitely does that, very different from playing computer games. That develops a different part of your brain. You know, I don't deny that. But we actually need a little bit of everything.
I have to say that when I grew up, we had story time in winter back home at my grandparents' house. I have an uncle, and he would tell us stories. So it's when you're done eating as a family, you're doing dishes, you sit outside around the fire.
Yeah.
Sounds like a movie, but around the fire. And you start playing games or they start narrating stories. And that's like my highlight of my childhood, we did not have any computers, any phones. We had no technology.
Yeah.
But we had that. And I'm so grateful that my imagination works like that. My grandfather used to tell stories as well. He used to tell a lot of stories during prayer time at home. So we had like a time when we all pray. And so he would tell stories. So it's interesting to just know that that's like an essential way of learning and communicating.
It is. And apparently nowadays, kids going into school don't have that. So the ability to learn to read is challenging. It's really challenging. And the teachers are finding the challenge because the kids haven't had that exposure. And that goes across all societies. It's not just in the Western world. It's all around the world, because we've become so needy of instant things, of just quickly pushing things away because we've got to fit so much into our lives. And that is something that I feel has been one of the drawbacks of personal care. Everything is instant. You want to instantly look younger. You want to instantly do something. How about just appreciating that, look, from the moment you're born, in fact, from the moment you conceived, you are aging. It's just people don't realize that because you give birth to a baby. But the point is, we are aging all the time, and every time is quite unique. So the time we're having now, when we finish and we think about this in a day or two's time, that's it. This time is gone. You can't go back to it. We don't have a time machine. So it's really important that we understand this was a special time in which we were conveying, we were exchanging a number of thoughts, a number of views, and that is part of the enriching experience. That wasn't instant. And the other thing is, as you and I talked about, we didn't have a map, a roadmap structured, say, you're going to ask me this question, that question. No, we are allowing it to flow. And that in itself is important too, because that's how life is. You know, we need to do things. You can't be higgledy-piggledy. If you need to go somewhere because you've cut yourself and you need to sew the cut, you can't get the doctor to start doing break dancing while, you know, looking at your cut, because that doesn't get done. That's just being silly. But the same time, while the doctor is sewing your cut, he or she could be asking you or having a conversation with you to make you feel good, and just to say, look, you know, you need to look after this in a particular way and make sure that you know, X, Y, Z. And that makes you feel good. So we are doing this all the time. Why do we need to have this need for instant? You want to do everything instantly. You want to rush through things. And guess what? Then you die. So when you die, that's it. I'll tell you something else which may kind of shock you a little bit. So if you think about life is a disease. Disease that changes. And it can be cured extremely well by death. That's it.
I have never heard anybody say that out loud. Life is a disease. Diseases evolve.
Yep. And then it's cured instantly by death. Irreversible. You can't go back. But you're cured, except you did.
Oh, my goodness.
The point is, you know, we have so much to be grateful for. Look, I understand a whole lot of things that are terrible. If we think of what happens what is happening in some parts of the world. And I don't even want to mention names because it, you'll know the areas of the world that I'm thinking about. That's hard. You know, you have no home. Bombs all over you. It's just rubble. People don't have food. People, you know, imagine you don't have areas to go to the toilet. What do you do with little kids? Kids that lose limbs, no parents. It's awful. That is very hard to be positive in, and yet some people still are. So we, fortunately, we don't have that where we are. We could, because things can change anytime. But it's really important that we really focus on having that positive attitude to keep as much of the negative side away. And I hope, I really hope, but I, you know, I think it's a very utopic hope. I hope that there will be enough people in the world that listen to voices like what we're talking about. That in the end, there's a sort of a greater movement that wins over the negative voices. It's unlikely, but I have to keep hoping because it's that hope that keeps me going. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to people across podcasts, because it's such an incredible vehicle. Here we are on different continents with huge sea between us, but we're talking to each other. Do you know? And people from different angles are listening, and they might think, oh, the woman is nuts. She's crazy. Okay. It's okay. It's nothing. Yeah, it's the case of sometimes you need to shake the banana tree, you know, shake the coconut tree and get the coconuts to come out to kind of wake people up out of their small little worlds. And we can gain so much more from talking to each other. Like listening to your talking and to the stories of your camp around the fire and what you remember. I mean, that's incredible. Do you know, one of the things I haven't achieved, it's coming, it's in preparation. I want to write a book. And the thing is that I am fussy with the writing of the book because I don't necessarily want to reveal a whole lot of things about myself, because this is not a book about myself, but it's a story. It's a story about people and bringing different elements. So I have all sorts of notebooks, and sometimes I talk to people and they tell me all sorts of interesting things in their lives, and I make notes, and I think, listening to all of these little stories, little sort of like fantasies, it's my training to write my book.
A book. Nice.
So, and I have a title for it because it's a book of lost dreams, because every time we change, we lose a dream.
Yeah.
But we accumulate, as we get older, we accumulate dreams. And when I first looked at this, I was quite sad because I was thinking a lost dream is one that you can't go back to. But what talking to people in different areas of the world has actually showed me, doesn't matter when you lose anything, because you never do. The fact that you're creating it in your mind, it's alive. It's never lost. And that is the beauty of a book. A book that was written 200 years ago, and it's still read by people today. I'm just, you know, out of the blue, I'm thinking of Jules Verne, The Voyage Under the Sea, or Voyage Round the World. So many people have read these books, you know. And they, of course, they're not real, but when you're reading it, they are real. They're very, very real to you. And so I don't feel so bad that I haven't had my book yet written, but I have been training. I've been training, and it's it's there. And it's why do I want to write a book? Not because I want to make millions. I just enjoy writing. I write quite a lot, and I used to do a lot more writing when I was at the university, but now it tends to be more focused on sort of writing things simpler for people to understand, because otherwise no one reads. But it would be to write a long sentence.
So long when you talked about writing a book about lost dreams, I thought of somebody, he's a pastor online, and he's taken us back to death. But he talked about the saddest thing about when people die is the dreams are never achieved. I've forgotten his name. It's a whole talk about birth and dreams that were never achieved. Like when we are at the cemetery, we are just not burying this person. We are burying them with the dreams they never achieved. So it's kind of something talking about how do what's set in your heart before you die. And do not die with that dream. Like that dream was put in your heart for a purpose. Like you wanted to write a book, you being fussy in particular about how you'd like that book written. There's a reason. There's a reason why you want to cultivate all you have learned in your course of life and share it with the world, that one day when you cross over, we have something to say, yes, Fernanda really left us something. And books will always pass generation to generation. It's something we really can't take away. So it's, yeah, so when you were talking about that, that's what I found interesting. And I would also like to take you to, we've had a whole conversation about life and mastery of different skill sets. And I want to mention, I have never met a scientist. I can't believe I now know a scientist. And I have met a scientist, and we have not had any scientist or science conversation, which is so odd. I'm like, hey, imagine meeting a scientist and you don't know what a scientist, you don't have a scientist conversation. But that also brings me to a part that I don't even know what to ask in terms of science to learn about your work there and how that translated in you building your company, which has to do with skincare. Like, it's such, I don't even know how to break it down for myself, to be honest.
So, and look, it's not hard. It's just a process of accumulating quite a lot of information and knowledge over a period of time. And of course, you have to define some interests. Like for me, so I'm a microbiologist. I do stay on the science realm that relates to living cells, living bacteria. I know very little about viruses. It's, you know, because it's, you know, each one of these subjects are kind of universes on their own. So, but I know a little bit about how bacteria and human cells interact together and how the two play chess games to avoid being killed by the other. So it's quite interesting. They certainly play games. And so, The thing for me that was very important was to realize that if we go to sort of basic principles, the skin, you know, is a barrier. is a living barrier that surrounds our body and is made up of cells that are distributed in layers. And this is why you have the epidermis that's on the outside, and you have the dermis, the immediate below layer, and then you have the hypodermis, which is the area where fat cells are, as well as fibroblasts, which are cells that produce the collagen and the elastin that give the structure to the skin. So the skin organ is sitting on top of the musculature, which sits on top of the bones attached by tendons. And then we have veins and arteries that flow through the body that give us oxygen and nutrients and take the waste products that go, you know, into the kidneys and into the liver and into the gut. So you expel all the other stuff. So if you see that context, and if you think that each of these organs are separate, then you're not going to be able to understand why skin and skincare is so important. But there are some really interesting connections. So on our skin, we have, on top of our skin, we have microbial flora, which we can't see. But we have microbial flora within our cells, and we have all over our body. So we're not sterile. We have bugs everywhere. So they're called the microbiome that is in our body. What is so interesting is that it used to be thought that all these bugs are here for just kind of symbiotically, you know, because we co-evolved. What science is showing, and this is the value of science in skincare, what science is showing is that these microbes are really important in maintaining a stable structure of the skin, for the skin to perform the function to be a good organ around your body. And so when the balance between the microbes and the skin gets disrupted, and that could be for many reasons. So you have a physical accident, you cut your skin, or you become ill for some reason and you change all sorts of, the way in which the nourishment comes to the skin, or you know, that you've been put onto medications that have changes on the muscles and the skin and the blood flow. What happens is that the microbes, this microbial flora, starts changing. And in changing, it affects the way in which the skin would normally function. So the skin can only work well because the bugs are healthy.
We have bugs on our skins?
Yes, and in our skin, within the layers, in our muscles, and everywhere in our body.
So when we have skin reactions, does that mean our bugs are not healthy?
It means that something has changed. No, something has changed in your body, which puts the bugs and the skin cells in a kind of a conflict. And what do the skin cells do then? They tap the immune system cells to come and help them. The immune system cells are like an army to help keep it all under control. But most of the time, the two communities, the microbes and the skin cells, live in perfect harmony. But sometimes things go wrong, and that's when the immune cells come in. They're like the police force, the army, to try and keep it under control. Now,
so this term thought you were thinking when you were starting your business, or when you started the skincare products?
No, I was thinking it's this was the background, because
Okay.
the background to my skincare products, because if we can have skincare products that maintain the right harmony, let's put it this way, the harmony between the bugs and the skin, so we have less chances of causing conflict, then our skin and our bugs will be happy and we'll have less reactions. Of course, the other thing for me, it was very important that the ingredients were natural, and I didn't use any animal-derived ingredients. So no honey, no animal placentas, no mucus from any animals, only from only using plant material. Plant material that serves as a source of oils, as a source of amino acids, a source of fats that are important to keep the bugs happy and the skin cell happy. So it was the understanding of how each universe of microbes and how each type of cell works well and what they need that made me think, ah, that's what we need to have. It's a good blend of ingredients that support healthy life for the skin and for the microbes, and then everyone's happy. Makes sense?
Kinda makes sense. And like I mentioned earlier, it's so interesting that I'm learning a lot about my skin that I did not know. Like, firstly, my skin has bugs. I did not know that. But also,
Yes.
you have explained it so well to where it started from, why you started this business. And I'll just want to know, how is it going? Right, like you're in a market, I would think it's kind of saturated because
Oh,
we have
yeah.
so many companies that have skincare products.
Okay, and that you hit the hammer right on the nail. So the one big point of difference with ours is that it's an approach. So you don't just treat about your you don't just treat your skin. You have to have a healthy lifestyle as well, in the sense that you eat well. You don't have to be an angel. I'm not proposing that at all, but be sensible in being hydrated from the inside and using skincare that is well matched to you. You don't have to use 10 products to look after your skin. You've got to make sure your skin is clean, so you have a good cleanser, but you don't have to over cleanse, because if you over cleanse, you strip the oils and you strip the bugs out, and out goes the balance. So you need to understand what types of cleansers are good for you. Have a good moisturizer. If you have the time, if you have the resources to use a product that has a deeper effect other than a moisturizer, choose a serum product that will enable a more concentrated form of the ingredients to reach the cells so that they are continuously enjoying being well looked after. And essentially, that's what you need to maintain good, healthy skin: a cleanser, a moisturizer, and a serum. And of course, if you are in the sun, even if your skin is dark, you should still have some form of sun protection, because skin cancer is quite prevalent in the lighter skins, but it happens in the darker skins as well. So that's what is essential. It's at the top of your pyramid of what you should look for. If you have more resources, then look for other products. That you can have a
Wow.
mask every few weeks, or you can have an exfoliator every few weeks, and so on. Now, what happens in the market is that people are trying to sell you more and more and more and more technologically advanced tools. So nowadays you see so many companies going into having the ingredients encapsulated into gold or silver or platinum, so they get to the target cells intact. Well, it's actually very difficult to be absolutely sure that the target cell is reached, because you've got these metal capsules filled of ingredients, and we can't really control that. And at the end of the day, you're going to have all these metals that aren't going to harm you on your skin, but they will be somewhere along the line absorbed into your excretory organs that are your kidneys, and they are going to be your liver. And so why do you want to load your body with all these strange metals that you don't need? You're doing just as well by using good products, natural products. Use them every day. It's the fact that you use consistently, that you are approaching caring for yourself every day. It's like you breathe. You're not even aware that you're breathing, but you're breathing all the time. And that's what you're doing. You're looking after your skin all the time. People say to me, oh, I don't have time to look after my skin. I want everything in one product. Okay, I've got a very good solution for you if that's what you want. So you don't have time to eat as well. Let's have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's put it all in the blender. Bzzz, and then you have all in one go. How would you like that? And then people get it.
Yeah.
So you see, this is the thing. So understand what you need. You don't need to spend half an hour every morning and every evening. You need to spend 5 minutes. If you want to have a special effect, you might need to resort to makeup to, of course, to have great eyelashes and to have a better blushing sort of of your cheeks. That's a different story. But before you apply any makeup, your skin should be well cared for. A very good skin should not have breakouts, should not be dry, and should not be oily. But there are times when we are stressed, and the stress level, like I was talking to you, we have these endorphins that get released from our brain when we feel good. So those endorphins are hormones that are like opiates. So they're sort of related to the family of drugs that give us a high. And they circulate in our body. They make us feel good. And another one that makes us feel good is oxytocin, which is released when moms are breastfeeding. So you have all of these molecules that make you feel good. And in making you feel good, they relax you. So your shoulders go down, your neck is less tense, and your face glows. You feel lighter. When you have stress, what happens is that the brain, at the same time as it's releasing endorphins, now redirects the energy to producing a few little other molecules that come out of the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. And these little molecules go to a few glands, two glands on top of your kidneys. They're called the adrenals. And these adrenals release cortisol. And the cortisol is a reflection of the level of stress that you're going through. So your heart rate goes up and you feel tense and you feel hyped up.
Yeah.
Guess what? The cortisol that you get produced on your adrenals, there are molecules, there are cells in our skin that produce cortisol as well. So you're not only you're producing cortisol on your adrenals, but you're producing cortisol on your skin. What is that going to lead to an inflammatory reaction? So the immune system, the army in the immune system, comes up to try and fight this stress, and causes a whole lot of disruption, which upsets the microbes that were quite happy co-living with your cells, and now you get breakouts. Yes. So what we want to do, we want to go back to a state where we look after ourselves and we get more endorphins and more oxytocin and feel good. So the immune system pulls back and is not attacking our own cells, because this is often what happens with the immune system producing cells to contain whatever the irritant is. It sometimes goes out of control, and this is where you get redness, and you get in its you get histamines being produced, and it's very itchy, and the more you itch, the more histamines you produce. So when you have something on your skin that goes red, the best thing to do is to take a cloth, a towel with some cool water, and just apply. So it restricts the capillaries, it sort of narrows the little veins,
yeah.
And you don't get so much of the blood coming to the surface, so the irritation, the inflammation subsides. So you don't need to go and have a whole lot of drugs. Sometimes you do, but to begin with, you can cool it down
now,
with.
I always get allergies. Now I know what to do.
Yeah, no, and it's, and so, but be careful what you eat.
Yeah.
Become cognizant of what irritates you. Invariably, not always, it takes about 24 hours for something to make you feel uncomfortable. You might eat something that irritates your gut. And this is another thing that's science, okay? So the cells in your gut, evolutionarily, like when your little embryo, the cells in your gut are related to the cells on your skin. They're the same type. It's just the way the embryo folds to become a baby. The cells on the outside are the same cells on the inside. So there's communication between the cells in your gut and the cells on top of your skin. So sometimes you eat something that derails your gut, and you might have constipation or you might have diarrhea. And sometimes that is accompanied with some irritation on the skin somewhere. Equally, if you brush your arms or your legs against a bush that is irritant, that is poisonous, yes, you might end up with a reaction from your gut, because the skin layer and the inner layer of the gut can talk to each other. Their molecular communication from the cells, all these cells that then flow in our vessels, in our blood vessels, and they will reach each other and they'll signal, there's something wrong here, something wrong there. Oh, and because they are the same type, they react in a similar way. So start.
That's so interesting.
It is fascinating. It is.
It is very. I have like a lot of aha moments, because I am one person that always has reactions to stuff. And now I pay attention, but now I know to be more careful. Yeah, I know I do pay attention.
Yeah, just, you know,
I have to be more careful.
Even with things like perfume, some people are more sensitive than others to perfume. So one of the things that you, if you are sensitive, don't apply the perfume to your skin. Apply the perfume to your hair, because your hair is outside your skin.
And yeah.
You'll still smell wonderful, but the perfume doesn't touch your skin. And in fact, the perfume might smell better, because the odor of the perfume is not being changed by the pH on your skin, which is a function of the balance between the cells and the bugs. So that's one allergen that you can get rid of. And check out, sometimes some fruits are more irritant than others. I, for instance, I can't, this is not a fruit. I can't eat red meat. If I have red meat, my gut doesn't work well at all. It's a problem for me. But I can eat seafood and I can eat all vegetables, I can eat all fruits. But I know people that can't have any fruits at all. They just feel very sick. So we're all different. We are all unique. We all have the ability to do something to improve wherever we are, to empower ourselves to feel good. Because if you feel good, you're much better at helping somebody else. Even without wanting to be a Mother Teresa, I'm not proposing that you be a Mother Teresa at all, but just in talking to people, when someone tells you something, you'll say, "Oh no, I normally would do X, Y, Z." So you're just allowing the positive energy to come through. If you don't feel well, what's going to happen? You're going to focus on, "Oh, I've got such a pain on the side, and my back is not working, and my gut is feeling uncomfortable." So you can't help people. So it
Yeah.
comes back to that, when you fly, the beginning of the flights, the instructions are always, if the mask falls from the ceiling, put the mask on first before helping somebody else. That's
Yeah.
absolutely right. You
And that's
have.
what we're taught in the airplane, before
Yes.
helping somebody with the oxygen mask, put yours first, then help the next person, because you can't help others if you can't help, if you don't help yourself, you can't help others. If your
Exactly.
glass, if your glass is empty, you can't fill it up for other people, so you have to fill up your own glass. So with all your experience, what advice would you give to a young person now?
Number one, need to understand what's important to you. Doesn't matter what it is, but what's important. And that carries values, carries beliefs. Think carefully about those. And make sure that you stay true to those. If you want something associated with those beliefs, those values, if you want to do something and it appears to be hard, don't give up. Just do what you can, one step at a time, small steps, and you will see, and you will feel that the environment around you, the universe around you will open doors and windows for you to do what you need to do. So the intention has to be good. It can't be about, I want it, it can't be like, I want to have that car, and because I can't afford that car, I just steal it. Can't be about that. That's not a good value. But it's, I would really like to have a car like that. So I'm going to be working towards getting a way to save or getting a way to become a driver so I can drive a car like that. And one day I'll have a car like that. It's thinking about in positive, creative, fun ways, just like what we're doing here. As you said, we wanted to have fun. We can live life having fun, or we can live life being angry. Which one do you think is better? And having fun, no question, helps you to be lighter and to feel good. So always stay true to your values, to your heart, and people around you, your friends, family will guide that. If someone is very obstructive and said, "No, you can't do this," take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath, deep from your groin, not just from your shoulders. And just stay still for a minute or two and do this as often as you can. that's kind of facilitating you to be present. Doesn't matter what's gone in the past and the future yet to come. You can only control what's happening now. Stay true to it. Does it make sense?
It does make sense, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Yes, I've been thinking about it. So, with your background, with your culture, with your personality, what type of music do you prefer?
I like soft music, but I'm like such a pop girl. So I am a Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, type of gaily. That's my type of music. So I love to listen to One Direction. I do not know what genre this is. Is it pop music? But yeah, I like to listen to it's pop. Yeah. Like that's my type of music because I love the lyrics, I love to sing along, and I think it really just speaks to my personality. So every time I am listening to a Taylor Swift song, I really get into the mood, and I am just like singing and singing and singing. So yeah, that's my type of music. I'm such a pop girl. Yeah.
Okay, and now African music. Because I'll tell you a secret. I'm sure I have an African bone. I'm
African
sure I
music.
do. Yes. What about
I align more with Afrobeats. So the Nigerian side of music, I love the energy it comes with. So that's where I align more. Yeah, when it comes to African music. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I don't know, you must know of this instrument. Do you know what a kora is? The African kora, it's from West Africa, so Nigeria, Cameroons. It's an old, it's a kind of a cross between a harp, very old harp, and I suppose a guitar on a drum. And there's a very, normally the tradition is kora is only played by men, and the
Yeah.
tradition is from father to son. But nowadays there are a few female kora players as well. They kind of broke the tradition. They obviously missed their upset.
it for
Yeah, no.
them.
But so Tumani Diabachi, it's an amazing, amazing player, and his son is as well, and Balakese Soko. Oh, I'm in heaven when I hear the kora. I'm in heaven, and I'm teaching myself to play the imbira,
Wow.
which is Zimbabwean little sort of like little guitar type, sort of. I love. Love the sound of the imbira. It's so, can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
I just love how these Africans designed a piece of instrument which was probably from a pumpkin, half a pumpkin, and put some pieces of metal to make the sound. Amazing. I love these sounds. So, the reason why I wanted to ask you about music is because music and writing is often a link together. And if
Yeah.
you can hear the music of what you read, your soul will sing.
Ooh, that's a good one. If you get the music of what you read, your soul sings. I think my favorite instrument, I'm gonna send you a video because I'm traveling. I'm traveling in a few days to my hometown. We have our traditional ceremony. I think my favorite instrument played, but I'm not allowed to play it, and I can't break that tradition because it's a
Yes,
tradition.
no. Yes.
It's called the malomo. Am I
Ah.
pronouncing it that? So it's a traditional drum that they play when our king is descending. Like if he's, and I am gonna send you videos. I think I have videos somewhere, but it's such, so when we have our traditional ceremony and the king arrives,
Yeah, oh, I'd love to see it because it's
I will,
I
because we have
don't
a
think
traditional ceremony on the 5th of April, which is Saturday. So we dance to that. So we dance when our king is coming in a boat and they start playing those drums. It's such an, I think that's my favorite instrument.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that is incredible. I think music like that is just divine. You see, pop music is great, but music like that's just sort of like spirit in action. It's just amazing. I can work, you know, when I'm doing my skincare while I'm writing, I can have the instrumental music going. I can't have voice. If I hear someone singing, I can't work because then I want to sing with them. But if I just hear instrumental, I can just work and work away, and it's incredibly peaceful. I just find it's amazing. It's like I've gone to paradise. I just love it. Yeah, amazing.
I'd like to know, which is your last question, what do you look, I think you talked about how you have reached your gray age, which is like your old age, and kind of could be your, like, I don't know how to put it, but yeah, you're at the end of your life and there's so much you can look back to, but I'm so interested to know with where you are now, what do you look for?
So where I am now, what do I look? I'm the sound was a bit fractious. I missed that.
Yeah, so with where you are now, what do
Yeah.
you look forward to?
Having a good catch up with some friends and family that I don't normally see. Because being Portuguese and living outside of Portugal, I've lived outside of Portugal for most of my life. So I'm 67 and I left Portugal when I was 17. So that's 50 years ago. But I still have Portuguese friends, and I have friends in South Africa, and family in South Africa, and family in the US, and friends in the US. My looking forward would be to just going around, having conversations, just sitting in the veranda or on a deck in the garden or on the beach. Doesn't matter, any no fancy place, just having a conversation over a cup of tea sometimes, you know, other times with over a glass of wine, and just reconnecting to people, because that's what I would like to take with me when I go to another world. Just my special moments with people.
I like that. And I'm so grateful that you had the time to sit down with me and have this conversation. And I have learned so much. I have a lot to sit with. I have a lot of questions. And I'm so grateful for this time. I kind of have a feeling we both enjoyed recording this. And
Oh,
there's
I
like,
think
so
it's
yeah. there's so much to be grateful for. So, Fernanda, thank you so much for sharing yourself with the world, your work, and everything you do. And just honestly, thank you. I'm really, really grateful for this opportunity.
Oh, I think you're marvelous. You know, you do so well. You've got such interesting guests in your podcasts. So it's a privilege to be part of yours. Thank you. And the other thing is, we can always talk some other time on all sorts of other things. You know,
I know.
Now, you know, we can sort of have more specific topics. And yeah. I really enjoy your energy, your bubbliness. Don't lose that.
Thank you. I will try not to.
Don't let life take it away from you. It's, you know, it's very contagious, and it's life giving. It's very particular.
And that's the best way of closing this. And for everybody listening, I hope this is a conversation that will let you sit with yourself and just try to learn more about yourself. Read a little about anything. Mm-hmm. Your skincare, your health, your mind, your body, your soul. Read about anything. I feel like that would be the take on this conversation is, the more you read, the more you see the world differently. I can't really believe I am bringing my reading skills to this podcast finally.
Yes.
But of course, the more you read, the more you see the world differently, and you'd be surprised how you will connect with somebody differently as well because of your different perspective and how well read you are. So thank you so much for tuning in, and it's bye from us.
Bye. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.